decisions every day. Small decisions, like what to eat. Am I going to have bacon and eggs for breakfast or cereal? We make decisions of what we're going to wear. My blue shirt or my green shirt? I chose the blue shirt. Sometimes we make big decisions. Am I going to buy a new car? Am I going to buy a Ford or am I going to buy a Chevy? Am I going to get a new car or a used car? Sometimes we make a decision to get married. Am I going to marry the blonde or the redhead? I lucked out. I married the blonde who turned into a redhead. Sometimes we make decisions that affect others. When we drive drunk, we make the decision that we might kill somebody. When we're married, we may make a decision whether we're going to have children or not. And that decision will affect their lives, whether they have a life or not. All decisions have consequences. Some good, some bad. Some important, some not so important. It's not really important whether I wore the blue shirt or the green shirt. The question is, what is our decision-making process? Do we ask others, like my father, what would my father do in this situation? Yeah. Or do we ask the pastor, Pastor, what do you think I should decide here? This is this, this is that. Or do we make a decision that makes us feel good? Don't even worry about the consequences. I'm going to do this because it makes me feel good. Or, do we make decisions on what God wants us to do? Do we make decisions according to God's will? Let us pray. Father God, we come before you this morning with open hearts, open ears. We want to hear your word. Lord, we ask that you would give me the words that you would have your people hear. We ask, Lord, that we would take this message and put it into our hearts so that as we leave this morning, that we can become more Christ-like. Lord, we pray for all these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. We're going to start this morning by reading Scripture. We're going to read John 14, 23 through 31. Y'all there? Jesus answered him, "If anybody loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you, not as the world gives to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come again. If you love me, you will have rejoiced because I'm going to the Father. For the Father is greater than I am. And I've told you before so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of the world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Obedience can be a challenge, especially when we feel tempted to believe that we stand to gain more from disobedience than obedience. However, obeying God's word is essential to pleasing Him, not just in times of temptation, but at all times. When God commands us to obey Him, He's giving us a principle by which to live for. He's also setting a framework around our lives that form a hedge of protection from evil. When we obey God, He puts a hedge around us to protect us. Can you remember the last time you felt tempted by Satan to do opposite of what you knew was right? You knew God desired you to do something, but you decided not to. A struggle erupted in your heart. The question arose, will obeying God cost me more than disobeying Him? Can I experience greater happiness by committing that sin than I would by obeying God? Decisions have consequences. Let's look at Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were in the garden. They walked in the cool of the day with the Lord. He only asked them to do one thing. Don't eat of the tree of good and evil. But they ate of the tree of good and evil. They disobeyed God. Look at the consequences. First of all, they were ashamed. They didn't even want to see God when He came by. They hid from Him because they felt shame. They felt that they betrayed God. And then God said, well, since you didn't obey me, I'm going to kick you out of the garden. Adam, you're going to have to work for a living now. No more freeloading, laying around in the garden. And Eve, when you have children, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt really, really bad. So Eve did have children. She had two boys. What did they do? They killed, one of them killed the other one. And God said, if you eat of the tree of good and evil, you will surely die. And they did die. Now the question, do you think they would have ate of the tree if they would have thought about those consequences? Probably not. I would hope not. But we don't know. Let's look at another example. The Israelites, they were led out of Egypt by Moses into the desert, heading to the promised land. They got to the promised land, but before they went to the promised land, they sent out a committee to inspect the land to see what they were going to do with it. Now God told them, I'm giving you this land, go take it. Spies came back and said, hey, we can't take this place. They got big people over there. They got walled cities. They forgot that God said, I already gave you this place. So they disobeyed God. They didn't take the land. Look what happened. They wandered in the desert for 40 years. every male except for Caleb and Joshua over the age of 25 died in the desert. Don't you think it would have been a wiser decision to go ahead and take the promised land like God told him? You and I don't know the consequences of what our decisions will be. Just like Adam and Eve didn't know what the consequences were going to be. Just like the Israelites didn't know what the consequences were going to be. We can assume some things, but you know what they say about assuming. So we do not know the consequences of our decisions. But let's see what happens when we make decisions based on God's will. Let's look at Noah. Noah lived in a desert. Not much rain. In fact, the Channel 25 weatherman said no rain for the next year. But God said, no, I want you to build an ark because I'm going to flood the earth. Yeah. Noah built the ark between 50 and 75 years it took him. Every day people said, look at Noah. Isn't he just building an ark? It ain't raining. I'm sure it was a lot of hard work. But he did it. He obeyed God, and look what happened. His family, eight people were saved when the flood came. The rest of the earth were destroyed. Now he didn't know, Noah didn't know when he built that ark that he would be the only one that lived. But God looked out for him because he was faithful. Look at Daniel. They told Daniel, you can't pray to your God. And Daniel said, oh yeah? He said, I know my God wants me to pray to him. So Daniel went out on the terrace, got down and prayed in front of everybody. He prayed to his Lord, his God. And the king threw him in the lion's den. But what did God do? He sent an angel to close the mouths of the lions. And he was brought out of the lion's den the next day. And he was put in charge. He didn't know what his decision was going to cost him when he decided to follow God's will. But we know God took care of him. The consequences of God's decision will always be good for us. But in order to believe that God's consequences will always be good for us, we have to remember these two truths. Remember, God is in charge. You are not in charge of your life. You can't even decide if you're going to breathe or not. God decides. In Romans 8:28, it says, and we know that in all things, not some things, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And remember what Jesus said? If you love me, you will follow my commands. Second, we must trust in God. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Now, who heard that the Lord's going to make your path smooth? No. Not smooth. There will be obstacles. But it will be straight. So if we remember those two truths and put them in our heart, when we choose to obey God, we will take the decision of wisdom. His promises of blessings for obedience far outweigh any possible consequences. He asks us to submit ourselves to Him and leave whatever happens to Him. As we grow in our walk with the Lord, obedience becomes an avenue by which we know Him better. When we obey Him, He pulls us closer to Him and teaches us more about His precepts and His love. Disobedience sends a message to the Lord, declaring that we know better than He does when it comes to our lives and circumstances surrounding us. But God loves us. He is committed to us. He commands our obedience, not because He's a hard taskmaster, but because He knows devastation. Devastating effects disobedience and sin will have on His life. Satan, however, has another goal in mind. He seeks to tempt believers to disobey God, usually by telling them the Lord's promises cannot be trusted and that we cannot enjoy life more if we follow His commands. But we know that Satan is the liar. He's the one that's lying, not God. Remember, disobedience always comes with fierce repercussions, feelings of guilt, shame, and worthlessness, broken lives, destroyed marriages, bitter disputes. While we can never change God's eternal love for us, it certainly disrupts our fellowship with our Savior and alienates us from His blessings. In times of disobedience, we become spiritually weak and unable to discern right from wrong. We sink deeper into sin's grasp and find it almost impossible to reverse our sinfulness on our own. Another example from the Bible, David and Bathsheba. David was at the palace at a time that kings go to war. David was the king. He strolls out on top of the rooftop because that's what everybody did back then. They didn't have patios, they had rooftops. So he goes out on the rooftop and he looks over and he sees Bathsheba taking a bath. And David turned right around and went back in the palace. No. David, seeing her, thought she was pretty and desired her. And he said to one of his servants, "Go get that woman for me." That's two already, right? Or is that three? Two, three, you know. He sleeps with her. She becomes pregnant. What does he do? He kills her husband. Not him personally, but he sends him to the front of the battle. So he is killed. Ah. Just gets deeper and deeper and deeper. So what happens? First of all, the baby dies. The baby dies. But luckily, God sent a prophet to David, and David repented. He said, "I have sinned against you, God. I repent." And he repents. And God says, okay, we're good to go, me and you, David. But look, the consequences aren't over. The consequences from that sin carry out through his whole life. One of his sons rapes one of his daughters. Well, one of the sons says, you raped my sister. I'm going to kill you. So he kills his brother. And then he's afraid of his father, so he runs away. Finally, he comes back. And what happens? He starts a revolt. He starts a revolt against his father. His father flees the city. His son collects up all his concubines, goes to the rooftop, and sleeps with them in front of the whole nation of Israel. Later on, he's killed. And David is sorry. David is remorseful because it's another one of his sons. That's two sons now that he lost. But it ain't over. What's the one thing that David really wanted to do for God? He wanted to build a temple for God. And God said, no, David, you've sinned so bad. You spilt the innocent blood. You cannot build my temple. Sometimes when we disobey God, the consequences are immediate like that. And sometimes they last a lifetime. So, we have some principles for you to follow. When we begin to obey God with confidence and joy, knowing that He can fully trust to keep all of His promises, we apply these following principles. Trust in God with your life and in all that concerns you. There's no way to go wrong if you place your hope and your trust in God. He created you. He loves you. He has eternal love for you. Therefore, He will always lead you in the very best possible way. Second thing, wait on the Lord for an answer to your problem or situation. Don't make rash decisions. Unless you're deciding if you're going to wear the blue shirt or the green shirt, then you can make a rash decision. But when it comes to important decisions, wait on the Lord. When in doubt, refuse to move ahead unless you know that God's leading you. Now, how do we know when God's leading us? By meditating on His Word. When you saturate with your mind with the Word of God, you gain His viewpoint. When a temptation comes, you will know right from wrong, and you can act accordingly. Second thing, listen to the Holy Spirit. God continues to speak to His people today. He speaks to us through His Word, the Holy Spirit, and through the words of a pastor or a trusted Christian friend. We become sensitive to the Spirit of God by spending time with Him, praying and studying the principles in Scripture. A trusted Christian friend. If you are married, you should never make a decision unless your spouse is in agreement with you. Amen. If your spouse isn't in agreement with you, it's a bad decision. And God is not going to bless that decision. Be willing to wait or walk away when the way before you seems unclear. if you desire to please God above all others, obedience to him will require you to remain firm. If you do not sense clear guidance in your situation, ask God to conform his will to you in his word. He will never contradict scripture. His will for your life will always line up perfectly with what the Bible says. Now here's a good, I don't know if this is a good one or a bad one, but this is an important one. Be willing to endure conflict. When the nation of Israel entered the promised land at God's direction, that's the second time, not the first time, she had to face strong enemy opposition. You know what I mean. God rarely empties our lives of trouble and conflict. If he did, we would not have any reason to depend on him. He allows just enough difficulty to keep us turned towards him. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter 4, starting in verse 12. We there? Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trials when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange was happening to you. But rejoice insomuch as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is a time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Leave the consequences to God. Why? Because we don't know what the consequences are going to be. Obedience may not be easy. You may receive criticisms from others, face obstacles, opposition, but it will always put you in a favorable position before God. He will take care of all that concerns you. Stay on the path of obedience and leave the rest to him. When we apply these principles to our lives, we will obey God with confidence and joy, knowing that he loves us and is leading us to become more like Christ. Let us pray. Father, we come before you this morning. We know we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. Lord, we know we have not always been faithful. We have not always been obedient, but Lord, we asked, no Lord, we beg that you would have your Spirit mentor us, encourage us to do your will so that we could be obedient, so that we will do those things that you would have us to do, so we would be the people that you would have us to be. Lord, we want to be obedient, but we are failing human beings. We need your help. But your word says that you will never give us more than we can endure through Christ. We know that the Holy Spirit lives within us. And you, the Holy Spirit and Jesus and God, Father God, are all in agreement. And you all want the best for us. So Lord, as we take this message to our hearts and our minds, let us walk out these doors with the satisfaction of knowing that you have the best intentions for us, and that if we're obedient to you, that everything will be okay. We pray for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.